Jotunheim, the heart of the network of the gods. Miles of bone, sinew, and synapse. It's time to tear it all down. Ragnarok is coming, and it's you. It's a hot day in Jotunheim, but there aren't many days that aren't really when you're living inside of an area that is comprised of the discarded remains of massive giants. It's humid, the weather is always in the mid-80s, mid-90s. It's warm. Today, there's dust in the air. There's a smell of something dead, long disturbed, that should not have been moved. One of the ligaments snapped, and a house fell. And through the dust, through the haze, you can hear people crying for help. You can hear people searching for loved ones. First of all, introduce your character by name real quick when you go, and tell me where you were when the house fell. Whoever would like to go first is welcome to.
So, Aki Trig... See, I don't know this name that I chose.
Trigvi.
Trigvi, thank you. Mm-hmm. Aki Trigvi. They are, you know, casual, bone bonded, probably wear a lot of leather, tight pants, leather jacket, chest out. It's beautiful. And they were just skulking around, keeping an eye on some people, looking for, you know, information, seeing what they could hear when that horrible crash in the distance sounded.
All right. Who would like to go next?
Ronnie, she is... The best way I can describe what he was doing at the time was just being around, like, they like to be around people, right? Like they are a person that enjoys being in the presence of people, but not the center of attention. He wants to be a face in the crowd. So I think that when the house fell, there is a bar or a meeting spot where Ronnie was off to the side. I think I'm envisioning there is some sort of, like, there's some sort of show happening or a contest or, like, some sort of competition, right? Like, and Ronnie is attending, but very consciously not, like, not participating, but just kind of there for the... I'm gonna go full Jeff Stormer and say it's karaoke night at whatever this bar is.
The bar is in Sizer's. It is a club run by one of the few giants to be found outside of the realm of fire and ice.
It is karaoke night at Incisors, which is less singing songs that exist and more a sort of screaming exercise where you like they play a song and you just scream. You just unleash fury and hell. Ronnie goes every single week and listens to people just let loose every frustration they have. And oddly enough, when the house fell, the place went silent. Like, someone was mid-scream. It was as if their throat closed when the house fell. The music cut out, and it was, you could hear a pin drop in a place where, frankly, you leave most days not really being able to hear anything.
Very good.
Wow, that's evocative.
Right?
I apologize in advance. I think you have the sounds of me, like, gagging on my coffee when Jeff was describing karaoke night. Okay, so since we've established that it's evening, I think what Idis was doing is probably, I have this mental image of, like, him going about whatever his evening routine is. And I imagine there is a routine, and I think it has to do with, like, delivering groceries to people who maybe for whatever reason can't get out and get their own. I haven't done my research on what, like, the economic situation of this is, but if there are, like, a disabled parent who can't get away to the grocery store during the day, Idis takes their groceries every evening or, like, once a week. Or, you know, the person who's working three jobs across town, like, Idis checks in. But I think that the thing that I'm really interested in is this mental image of, like, on the way to this side of the neighborhood, there's a group of kids who are all out, like, playing some sort of pickup ball game. like kicking one around to each other. And I think Idis knows all the kids in the neighborhood and they all know Idis. And so has sort of like stopped and joined in on this like pickup game, you know, kicking a ball around with like a brown paper bag in one arm or what have you, when this just horrific sound ricochets through the neighborhood.
So the house collapses. The next couple of hours are chaos. It's not uncommon for a house to collapse. You're in a neighborhood that was never really meant to support habitation, right? The entire idea of Midgard as the realm of people, Midgard is scattered throughout the remaining realms in pockets, carved out where people can find space to make a home for themselves. And by people, I mean humans and any of the other beings of Norse mythology that have, you know, chosen to make a realm here. So you'll find elves and dwarves. And if we come up with anything else, we come up with anything else. So it's now about 3 hours after the initial collapse. And as previously established in our session zero, all of you are there at the site helping in some way, shape, or form. So Idis, since you are sort of the most, at least at first glance, connected to the neighborhood and to the people, and also since it was your question, what specifically are you doing to help with this rescue effort?
I think we talked about a little bit of this in sort of the initial answering of the question. And what I'm doing is I'm taking care of the first responders, essentially. So there are rescue personnel, there are people who, and I think it's a loosely organized community group, if anything. It's not like there are, you know, formally volunteer firefighters or what have you, but there are people in the community that we lean on to do this kind of work when this kind of work needs done, because we know no one else is going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And those people I know by name, and those people I recognize, and I know what they need when they need it. And so I think, like, as those people are coming off of their shifts, you know, hauling cables and evacuating people and retrieving supplies, you know, I am distributing coffee, I am carrying around like buckets of water to help people wash up. I think I'm keeping an eye on kids. I'm sort of doing all of the work that needs to get done so that the more important work can get done.
Very good. I would like just because we need to engage the mechanics at some point in time, it being a playtest, I would like you to look at your attributes and skills and decide on a combo that you would like to roll to see how effective your efforts have been thus far. The difficulty is going to be a 2. While this is challenging, it's not like a major challenge. This is, after all, what you do, is you help people.
So as far as attributes, I want to say, like, processing, I think just, you know, responding in a crisis, taking information in, making snap decisions and sort of analyzing the situation, looking around and figuring like, okay, this needs to go here, this needs to go here. I'm going to stay cool and calm and rational and like just work things out. And as far as actual skills, I'm going to say probably like, this is a better question, insight maybe? Same kind of thing, just like looking around and reading people's faces and body language to determine who needs what most immediately.
Okay, excellent. So that'll be 7d6s. You're looking for 5s and 6s for hits, and you need 2 of them.
7d6s. Okay, I need 5s and 6s is what I'm tracking?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I got 2 5s and 2 6s.
Wow, yeah, you got what you needed and then some. So pick a person or a situation that you have in your mind's eye and describe how you're helping this person get something they didn't even know they needed in that moment, right? Mm-hmm. How you see beyond just like, oh, they need water, they need a break, right? You get someone exactly where they live in that moment.
I think that there is one of these sort of known first responders in our community. And I think she's just a really, she's like a figurehead in our community, like a neighborhood leader. She's very tall and broad and imposing. And I think she has several kids, and like she's just, you know, well known as sort of the matriarch of this side of the neighborhood, but very like physically capable, one of the strongest people in this side of the district, probably. And I think that the sort of vision I'm getting is that she was one of the first people on the scene and one of the first people helping out. And, you know, obviously she's doing okay. She's like perfectly content to handle all of this and like knows that her kids are well taken care of and that everything is running smoothly. But I think that probably I know that she pulled a muscle in her wrist a couple of weeks ago doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And like the sort of thing that's mostly healed by now, but never really quite heals over. And doing this kind of work, a repetitive motion injury, is going to be something that's going to come back again. So I think that probably I had a couple of, you know, free moments and I remembered this and I went over to whoever or like one of the other medics on site is. And I think I just got like a wrist compress and I brought it back over to her without her even asking for it. Just like, hey, here, put this on. This is going to help out.
Wonderful. Her name is Bendis Hjalfsdottir.
Great name.
And her blurb is that she is the neighborhood matriarch. And Alex, I think you hinted at something already. Would you like her first detail to be basically like the strongest person in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
I mean, that's questionable with me around, but that's fine.
Just like she looks very strong and cool. I need to get this across. Like if you watch Dora Hodoro, like she just looks like Noi and it's awesome.
I love it.
Jeff and B, you each get to add a detail to Bendis Hjalfsdottir.
I have a detail immediately, unless B, you want to throw something out.
Go for it, because I'm really considering mine, if it's a positive detail or a hindrance.
Mine is I want to throw out the visual that I got as Alex was describing Bendis. I don't know why my mind went here, and this is partially why she's got a wrist injury. Bendis's nickname is Hatchet. Because she carries this very Hatchet is a nickname in the way that like Tiny is a nickname. She carries this gigantic fire axe. It's her signature thing.
Oh, I love that.
And she is known for like fire rescue, right? Like, you know, she is tall, she is imposing, she has a giant fire axe, and if you are like buried behind wood, she's getting you out of there. Like that's why we call her Hatchet, because that is not a hatchet.
This is now a Bendis Hjalfsdottir appreciation cast. I just want everyone to know that.
It is.
That's amazing. Bea, what detail would you like to add for Bendis?
Oh, gosh. Heck. Well, she definitely wears a big oversized coat. And she's got these little legs with really nice stylized shoes. But I think it's her hair that is really telling. Like, you know it's Bendis, not just from that hatchet when you kind of spy her from a distance, but I think she also just has, I'm trying to think of like fireproof hair, because a lot of the styles that my mouth wants to say, they will catch fire.
Copper hair, like literally her hair is interwoven
Ooh,
with metal.
Oh yes,
that's dope.
Please.
That's cool.
This is a cyberpunk future. We can body mod the heck out of her.
Yes, please. Lots of copper intertwined in her hair, and I think it's just multiple braids that are tied up into like various buns around her head.
That's cool. I like that.
That's really cool. Is it too late to put her on the cover of the game?
No, it's not.
I would love to propose a character change. I don't know. I feel like we've told my characters. I feel like my story is told. I feel like there's more important characters we should be focusing on.
You're a karaoke night, and that's where your story ends.
Yeah, we're done. We're good.
That's actually a really interesting thing to say, though, Jeff. Like, I think I'm going to make a note about that, right? It's a challenging thing, potentially, to change characters mm-hmm. midstream, right? But I think troop-style play is a really cool idea.
That is a cool idea.
Where you can have, like, a pool of people that you just go in and out of, depending on who needs agency in a given moment. That way the GM isn't doing, or the narrator, I should use my own terms, isn't doing all of that lifting. I think finding a good way to do it would be very interesting.
Speaking in terms of playtest, and also me being me, I am not a parody of myself as I say the thing I'm about to say. That would also be a really interesting way to do a two-player approach to the game, as if you didn't have a GM, you had two people and you were just... Because I know we've done a similar thing when we played Ironhead Accelerated, where we were like, mm-hmm. actually, this character's the interesting thing, let's just hop over and play this character. I don't know how that would work, I think it's probably too early for us to tell, but I think that's a really interesting thing.
Yeah, I think that's something to look at in the beta, but I'm making a note about swapping characters cool. slash troop.
Love it.
And as a nod to that, if you all, as we encounter these NPCs, because Bendis Hjalfsdottir is not going to be the only awesome NPC that y'all create, and if that turns out that's where some juice is for this game, because it is a game effectively about communities rising up, hey, might not be a bad idea to have just a pool of people you can go, yeah, this is who's going on this mission, and I'm going to play them this time. So for that, we have, getting back, we have Adis. Brought that over to Bendis, and Bendis just sort of like looks up at you.
Let's get one thing straight. Bendis is looking down at me.
Oh, she's sitting right now.
She's still looking down at me.
Fantastic. That's amazing. So Bendis looks down at you and just kind of chuckles and shakes her head and slides the compress on. I think it's like, it looks just kind of like a neoprene wrist brace, right? You just slide it on. But because this is a cyberpunk future, she then just squeezes it and it immediately gets cold. Mm-hmm. So her wrist gets iced and she sort of flexes her hand a little bit and rotates her wrist around and just looks at you and says, "You always do tend to know exactly what needs to happen, don't you?"
That's why they keep me around.
One of the reasons, anyway. Looks like Bjarn over there needs a cup of coffee. I'll be all right. And you can tell that, like, you've been dismissed.
Oh, I'm well familiar with the sensation. I toss her a wink and I head over in Bjorn's direction.
Fantastic. Aki, 3 hours in, what are you doing to aid in the rescue effort?
Okay, so it's very important to note that in this time, I have really looked at my character and I've really considered who they are. And so her pronouns are they, she, he, because I'm really liking this vibe that we got. And as I started to develop this character in the past, I don't know, 8 minutes, a lot has come to me. So
good. I'm here for these revelations.
There's a lot of commotion, there's a lot of chaos, but you can always tell that they are arriving by the clack of chains. They are just decked out in so many chains around her neck, and then it's secondary, it's almost the heavy click of booted heels. They have like those strappy combat boots that go all the way up to the thighs, and it's just buckles, silver. They're wearing black leather tights that have X's opened up in the thighs because they have big, thick thighs. Let's be real, they are strong as heck. So she's got to have clothing that accommodates being able to squat and lift up rocks, especially, you know, when there's rubble like this, there's a lot of metal in the way, there's a lot of dangerous objects, but she comes prepared. She does still have like that open vest with like really beautifully thick arms. But most notably on the inside of the vest where his chest is bare, there against the dark, dark skin, there are white tattoos that look like ribs and bones. And those tattoos go all the way up to the neck where it's the spine. And then around her head, and specifically around the hairline, there is a metal headband that is crafted to kind of look like a bone headband that leans, it kind of covers up the hairline a little bit, where these long dreads that cascade all the way down his back, probably towards like back of the thighs, as he steps up towards this destruction, and she starts to like click off the long nails, toss them to the ground, crack her fingers. All right, who needs help? What am I lifting up?
She's so cool. I like that we are on a podcast, which is a strictly audio medium, but B has still delivered the most incredible like look and makeup and visuals that I could possibly comprehend. I am delighted.
I will not be shocked if I manage to make the audio of this even raw available to you all, and the next time we record, B comes with the white tattoos drawn on their neck.
I mean,
fantastic, and I mean, I'm sitting over here redesigning the system already because now I have ideas. So this is fantastic. I think you've been lifting things basically as anyone has been directing, you know, for the last few hours. As you drop something particularly heavy in a place where it's out of the way and at least, you know, it's not going to be harming anyone, you kind of brush your hands off. Can I just assume that Aki is wearing like fingerless leather gloves?
Oh, for sure. Except the knuckles are studded with rhinestones.
Yes, of course they are.
I don't know what it says that I don't know what it says that I didn't need that explained.
I mean, you already knew it was there.
Yeah. You dust your hands off, and as you look down at your hands, you actually see that there is something tucked into the wrist of your right glove. Like a little scrap of paper or something.
Okay, glancing left and glancing right to make sure I don't have any eyes on me, they're absolutely going to pull that out and, you know, covertly take a look at this little note.
Yeah, so this references back to the question that you answered during our neighborhood creation, right? This is the moment where you got the note. So basically, in however it's phrased to make Aki believe its veracity, and to absolutely know that he needs to gather up Ronnie and Itis and go check this out at some point in time, you have a note that says that you need to meet someone, a contact, tomorrow who has a lead. And it's kind of coded, right? It doesn't say this outright, The phrase basically means to mess with the RPB, right? The Realms Police Bureau. You, all of you, are basically, you know, revolutionaries. You're part of a cell of some kind. And whenever you see something like that, there's a lot more implication to it. This is sort of the break you've been waiting for, right? Because the idea, the plan for your cell is to take down Tyr himself. What is one thing that you see in this note that just seals for you beyond any shadow of a doubt that this is exactly the thing that will lead you down that path?
Ooh, I think it's the lipstick print. It's an atrocious orange color. And, you know, there is this individual that has been known, just, they're known only in shadows. They're known only online. Nobody really knows who they are, except they go by the name of, what is a synonym for orange, y'all?
Like the tangerine?
What kind of orange is it? Tangerine, yeah. If it's more like a burnt orange, then...
Can they be like the ridiculous Crayola? Can they be burnt umber?
Yes!
I was going to suggest persimmon, but burnt umber does kind of rule.
I was going to suggest macaroni and cheese. Burnt umber is way better.
Macaroni and cheese? Really?
It's my favorite color.
Well, it's hard to argue with that logic.
I had mac and cheese for lunch today.
That's wonderful, but not for, you know, cool color names.
Right.
Just doesn't, you know, doesn't work as well.
Persimmon is still on the table if you want persimmon.
I'm here for burnt umber. It just sounds so edgy.
It does.
It really does. That's the thing.
Especially if it's one word and it's capital B, capital U, but it's one word like a username.
it's actually XX, burnt umber XX, but you don't pronounce the X's.
Yeah, of course. No.
Right. Unless you want to make sure everyone knows that you know they're hardcore. Fantastic. So we have made an NPC. B, you brought them into the world. What's the first detail for burnt umber?
Burnt umber colored lipstick.
Fantastic. Jeff, what's the second detail?
Second detail is, I guess I'm on a theme tonight, but like the second detail is only meets in places that are so deafeningly loud that like you almost can't hear what they're saying except if they are communicating with an intent. So put likes it loud, I think, or like only meets in loud places, I think, is a good way to describe it. But yeah, they only meet in places that are incredibly loud, and the only way that you can really hear them is if they want you to hear them specifically.
Mm-hmm. All right, Alex, what's the final detail for burn number?
I'm kind of obsessed with the idea of somebody, and I want to lean more into the cyberpunk thing, of somebody who's like call signs are these sort of aesthetic choices. And I love this idea of like these sensory things, like this color or like this weird play space of the auditory. So I think there's also like a specific scent or flavor that's like associated with them, that like if you get a message from them or something, like I don't know, I just think like it probably smells very strongly of like
persimmons.
I mean, maybe persimmons, that'd be kind of interesting. I was gonna say like mint, just because I think that would be something really odd to smell in like a weird cyberpunky rundown place,
especially if you're in like a super loud place like a construction site. Yeah. Or like a rave bar or something. Smelling fresh mint is gonna be bizarre.
Yeah, gonna be really, really strange. And I think because this individual operates like in conjunction with this resistance revolutionary, it's like some artsy thing where it's like this breath of fresh air in the midst of like, you know, these terrifying times. So I like that idea. I think one of their call signs, and they have a handful of these aesthetic call signs that you know them by, these very specific things that are almost like copyrighted to this person's mysterious identity because you'll never actually see them. I think that, yeah, the smell or the taste of mint in an unexpected place is one of their qualities as well.
So Aki, you get that note and you know that you're going to have to basically call a meeting together, right, to deliver this information when the rescue effort has been secured, right, when the neighborhood is actually safe. And you've got, like, things are toned down. The people who have needed the most help have been triaged, right? The house is probably a total loss, but right now it's literally damage control. It's making sure that other things don't fall and have more bad happen to the neighborhood. And so lastly, Captain, how have you been assisting in the rescue effort?
I think the interesting thing about Ronnie is that, like, I think probably Aki and I think Aki and Idis probably recognize this, and the two of you probably know why to an extent, but there's still probably a sense of, like, for a long time, Ronnie's not around. Ronnie is, like, not present. Ronnie arrives, like, probably much later, and the reason is because, and I want to ask a character question, but I'm gonna lay out what I'm doing, and then if I may, Tracy, I want to throw out a specific character question because I'm interested in it.
Sure.
But I think what Ronnie has done is, because Ronnie's specialty is going where I'm not supposed to, not being seen and coming out in one piece, and I think that how that is directly helpful in an emergency effort is, you know, there's the stuff that the volunteers can get their hands on to help get people out of here, and then there's the stuff that I can get my hands on to get stuff out of here. So I think I arrive probably not long before, like, the 3-hour mark. I arrive with, like, a crate of goods that fell off a truck, and I'm probably sitting behind Idis, like, hey, somebody's probably going to need this.
And you two can go ahead and roll into that little scene if you would like to.
Yeah, and oh, I think the question that I wanted to throw out, and I think this is the scene. What is Idis's perspective on the specialties that Ronnie has?
I think we probably have this sort of standing arrangement or sort of understanding where you drop something like this off, and in the spirit of this little game we play, I say something along the lines of, like, you know, I'm, like, picking up and looking at the stuff, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you've been a huge help on babysitting duty or something. Like, something to indicate that I, for all intents and purposes, have definitely absolutely seen you here for the past 3 hours and not somewhere else that you might have been.
I love it. And the part of the game that we play that I want to throw out is, because I'm the particular kind of trash that I am, I think there's absolutely, and you probably to an extent know that it is coming, but, like, there's definitely a Batman Jim Gordon moment where, like, you're getting the coffee together, you've got a thermos, you've poured it, and you just hear from behind you, hey, you'll probably need this, and you turn around and I'm there, like, patting the box, and I'm like, I'm gonna go check in with Aki. I think I got babysitting, I got coordinations in the managements and all of that kind of stuff, you know, it's what we do, huh?
All that little mundane stuff you're so good at.
It's, you know, it's the everyday, right?
Someone's got to keep the lanterns lit.
Exactly.
That is fantastic. Like I said, the collapse of the house isn't, like, it's not great, right, obviously. But it also is something that is known to happen. And the neighborhood wasn't in the middle of, like, any other particular issues. So I think it's not too long after that exchange that Bendis sort of, like, rallies all the people who were there initially, just calls them all together and says, okay, basically, in no uncertain terms, but much more gently than this, you all need to go home and rest now because you're going to be exhausted if you don't. There are more people here to help. So, you know, and there are, of course, people who stick around who might have, like, direct connections to the family that was affected by this and that sort of thing. But Aki, this is a great opportunity to, like, twig to the other two that something is up.
Oh, of course. I think Cap'n's probably the easiest one to find. I tend to tower over most of the people here anyways, what with 4-inch, 5-inch combat boot heels, you know, it adds a lot of height. So while scanning over the crowd, What does Ronnie look like from, you know, top down?
Top down, I am picturing kind of, like, long hair and a headband, right? Like, flowing back hair, kind of headband around the forehead.
You know you're getting dangerously close already to describing Ronnie James Dio, right?
A little bit. I think it's the difference between Ronnie's hair and Dio's hair is Ronnie's hair is a little bit more of the feathered 70s look. Kind of shoulder length. I think it's shoulder length. It's feathered. It's floofy. There's the headband. They have a very square jaw and kind of very leg heavy, like small torso, big leg. But the way that I will describe them looking is if you took the arms and legs off of a different action figure than the torso. And, like, they're just a little bit, like, longer, like, the limbs are a little long, but, like, it looks, at once, it also just looks very flowing, right? Like there's a flow to her whole look where it looks oddly mismatched, but in a way that looks like if a person could pick every part of their body, their style, their energy, it looks like they've purposely like power clashed every part of their being.
Wow. It's cyberpunk. Somebody might be able to choose every part of their body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I am here for that. All right, Ronnie, I think you just feel like a pressure on your shoulder as Aki kind of like leans into you. Hey, girl, long time no talk. What have you been doing?
I do not like that you can sneak up on me.
It's a wonder you can't hear me with all these chains, you know?
I'm gonna chalk this up to my own inattentive nature and not some sort of horrible subtext to this that I'm very, very frightened by.
No, nonsense.
You know, living, doing a little bit of management, a little bit of babysitting, you know, ordinary stuff, legal stuff.
Babysitting. Oh, yeah. It's one of your favorite tasks. You are so very good at it.
I love things that are legal.
So very legal. And on the topic of things that are so incredibly legal, I think we should gather Idis and have a conversation about some legal activities.
Oh, we're going to do crimes. That's great.
Legally.
legally speaking.
Yeah. She looks around like, yep.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you drive a hard bargain, but I'm in.
I always do. I always do, darling. Let's go. And we will go scoop up our neighborhood helper.
That's me.
Yeah. I'm guessing that Idis is one of the people that did not leave when everyone else was instructed to.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. No, Idis is there till things are done.
Yeah.
Now, you know, hypocritically enough, part of Idis's job right now is convincing other people that they should be going home. But that doesn't mean that, mm-hmm. like, he's going to check out anytime soon.
All right. I think then Ronnie and I, probably, like, arm in arm, in tow, will kind of, like, march up to you. How busy are you at the moment?
Well, never too busy for a couple of friends. What's up?
Oh, darling, it's so good to see you. I am... we happen to have some business, you know, and like, he points off in a direction where, like, nothing good ever happens over there. You know, just, some business over there. There might be some people that, have some information to share. Some really, really good, legal, delightful, and wonderful information.
Well, you lost me at legal, but you picked me up again at delightful.
Oh, good. I hope I'm not taking you away from your... Are you making coffee?
When am I not making coffee?
I'll grab a cup, thank you.
Already got it. So you still take it, right?
Wow, yes, thank you. Thank you, dear. All right, well, if you're ready, I say you grab onto my other arm and let's go on a little bit of a stroll.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Ida sort of looks back over their shoulder, just very briefly sort of surveying the situation, and everything seems to be well in hand, and one of those things where if I slip out quietly, the assumption that I'm still there will keep people running very smoothly, so.
As we start to walk away, I pop over Idis' shoulder and I'm like, it's crimes. We're gonna do crimes.
Oh, really?
Iron Edder Reforged is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network in conjunction with the Other Dev Productions. Written and designed by Tracy Barnett, performed by Alex Flanagan, B. Zelda, and Jeff Stormer. Edited by Jupiter Aklis. Hello, Rebels. It's me, Tracy, hopping in here at the end of this episode to remind you that if you like what you're listening to, you need to go back the Kickstarter. This project will not continue in its current form unless this Kickstarter funds. Right now, it's at about 41% funding. There are 10 days to go as of the posting of this episode, and we could really use your support. If you're on Twitter, find my profile at The Other Tracy. The pinned tweet there is a great one to retweet. If you want to back the Kickstarter itself, just go to Kickstarter and search for Iron Edder Reforged and you will find it. Your support means everything for this project. Like I said, if it doesn't fund, this all changes. And I really like where it's going, so let's not change it. Let's get it funded. Head on over to Kickstarter, back the Kickstarter, and we will see you in Jotunheim. If you enjoyed this show, you should check out some of the other shows on the One Shot Podcast Network. Shows like Campaign Skyjacks. Campaign Skyjacks takes place in an original setting inspired by folktales and classic adventure fiction.
James D'Amato leads Liz Anderson, John Patrick Cohen, Tyler Davis, Johnny O'Mara, and in recent episodes, Nathan Blades, as they tell a tale of daring sky pirates, giant birds, and the terror of a cursed sea. It's funny, dramatic, and at times emotionally devastating. Just search for Campaign Skyjacks or James D'Amato on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast app.